During these testing times, I found the perfect thing to help me relax and practice mindfulness. Building a Lamborghini. Okay, it's not a real Lamborghini, it's a Lego Lamborghini, but still, you build a Lamborghini, you tell people, especially if it can help find joyful focus in a time when I need it most. Now, before you start, Lego isn't just for children. It's got products designed to challenge adults too, like a Lamborghini, works of art, even skylines from around the world. Now, these types of projects can really give you a well-needed break from the pressures of everyday life. I've lost myself in Lego, the whole building experience, many, many times. While I was working on the 8-speed sequential transmission of my green Lambo, everything else just melted away. They have lots of options for any experience level, so it really doesn't matter if you haven't built with Lego for a while. Search Lego Adults and find your joyful focus.
Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 Thang podcast. Coming up, we take a tour around the country visiting your landmark eccentrics. Gavin, I enjoyed that immensely this week.
I did as well.
And it's another item, 83936. You know, you might be with a different crowd than you roll with during the week, yeah, as you listen to this podcast. Perhaps ask them and then text them in. Again, gives us another link off work, doesn't it, Gav?
Absolutely
we
right.
We just sit back, let you write the script. I take you through the new etiquette for wearing face masks. Again, you started texting about that. We sat back, you wrote the script. And the Woodman has another device from the world of Victorian quackery. Today, there's a strange smell emanating from his erect little slot. It's like rotten eggs. Again, I sat back. The Woodman look went on Google. Someone else wrote the script, but he said it.
Perfect.
Very little work done here at all. Very enjoy it.
Radio X.
What's he going to say when he asks us what we did over the weekend when we did nothing? Woodman, what did you do over the weekend when
nothing.
I know in fact
I did nothing, okay, yeah. Good. I watched Breaking Bad, although I did have one incident.
Late taker. I love it, yeah, man. Love it. So I late.
And you can talk, can what a again? Wild show.
Yeah, I heard it's pretty good. I've got to tell you, Gav, I did something very similar this weekend. I suddenly thought back, why haven't I watched that everyone went on about? I missed out on The Wire. Turns out
I've never seen that.
Well,
either.
It turns out, well, what I've missed out on,
yeah,
is arguably the ranking daddy of all box sets.
Oh,
I had no
it?
Idea. Yeah, I've got to like episode 4. I had absolutely no idea I was looking at something on this level of genius.
Oh, well, I'm going there next.
No, it's absolute genius. I mean, obviously, I don't know why I missed out. It's from that sort of Sopranos 24 era.
Yeah, yeah.
And my God, it's good.
It's that good, is it?
Yeah, it didn't even put me off. It's sort of English actors. He does quite a good American accent.
Right.
In fact, I wouldn't have particularly known he was English if he hadn't been pictured in Rome with whatever her name is.
Yeah.
And now, having seen it, I mean, he looks like sort of like quite a chunky lovey in those Rome shots. But you can sort of, I didn't realise he was a big US star. That makes everything acceptable.
It does.
Gaff.
I did have one incident, though. For the first time ever, I had a Chinese delivery that wasn't my delivery.
You didn't break all known laws of etiquette and eat it, did you?
I was too hungry to do anything about it.
Well, Chinese,
we just had it.
Was it nice to have someone else's order?
It was all right. I mean, it was a bit squid heavy.
Wow.
There's quite a lot of squid in there. Like different versions of squid.
Really? Well, they went from,
yeah, there was.
I was saying, more than one squid dish.
Yeah, there was two or three at least.
Well, squid dishes?
Yeah, squid-based dishes. You had your squid in salt and chilli.
Yeah, yeah.
Your sweet and sour squid. I can't remember
really
what they were, but it was sort of similar to our order, but definitely not our order.
Maybe it was for, like, shark.
It could
live locally, you know. You know, I'm just saying, there's a lot of shark, I know, eat squid. And I'm just wondering, I don't know what fish, eel, I think, eat fish as well. I mean, eat squid.
All I kept thinking was someone else somewhere is thinking, now this is what we should have ordered.
Right, Gav, do you know what I'm going to do?
Because they had my order, which was far more skillful.
Take us through the order while I look up what eats squid.
Okay, so I usually get the mixed hors d'oeuvres. So you get a bit of prawn toast, you get a rib, you get a bit of this, you get a bit of that, and the seaweed. But we didn't get that. We just got squid and prawn toast and a couple of the mains.
Okay,
but it was fine. It was
well, you've got to watch it, Gav, because that order could have been for some birds living locally.
Oh.
They eat squid, apparently.
Good point, yeah, yeah.
Sharks, like I said, they like it.
Well, I do live near a canal, very close to the Basingstoke Canal, so that could have been a shark.
Could have been tuna.
Could have been tuna, yeah.
Canal's more likely to be tuna, although, again, these are saltwater fish.
They're
unless it's a saltwater canal. well, there's probably enough minerals in there to make up for that.
It could have been a hungry carp.
Larger fish is the next thing.
Sure.
Toothed whales.
Yeah.
Some crabs.
Mm.
And squid.
Right.
So it could be bigger
squid.
Other squid,
yes.
Bigger squid, yeah.
Well,
I'm just saying, Gav, you've got to watch it, because You know, you might have been sitting there thinking, hello, I'm squids in. But, oh!
There are a couple of new neighbours, but I haven't seen them yet.
Well, you have a look how many legs they've got.
Yeah.
Because that might... If when they're walking, they seem to float with trailing legs. You want to watch that, mate. You want to watch that, because you could have squid next door.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Monday, 1st of February, 2021. I got you on Pinch Punch, all of you.
You did, yeah.
So I just sort of feel one up.
Sure.
I feel one up on every listener.
I've never one up to whole country.
Well,
before.
A way you can do it is just by announcing a competition that you've won already, like I did today.
Excellent.
So you just start a show and you just go, Pinch Punch, first month I win, and they're not even playing. And then you can claim that first victory.
Love it.
Gav.
Yeah.
I love the way councils never really... ever get positive press.
Never.
Ever. I mean, the funny thing is they employ council press officers who presumably they're putting a good spin on even the bad stuff we read. And I've also never heard anyone say, of course, these are things you don't hear in Britain. Yeah, of course, the council were tremendous.
Absolutely amazing. They responded so fast.
And we put the planning permission in. Literally, next day, they're around saying, how can we help you build it? It's wonderful.
Right. Yeah, yeah. They even brought some bricks with them.
No, the council quite understood about my parking permit, how I wasn't aware of the notice. I've been on holiday or it fell down in the car. They were brilliant.
Yeah.
They were so understanding about it. They acknowledged that, yes, I have got a right to park there, not just a right to pay to park. They're absolutely marvellous. They really were. I went to the council. There was hardly any queue at all. Straight to the front.
Yeah, just ring the council. They'll sort it out.
Literally, I called the council, I got straight through.
Brilliant.
I got straight through, and the guy said, how can I help, sir?
Yeah. And they fixed it within an hour.
They fixed it within a second.
Yeah.
No, I was just complaining about a tree at the end of the garden. Literally, I just put the phone down, they're already up there, up a ladder. Anyway, Gav.
Go on.
A council spent... this is what's amazing, is that despite all that, anytime you read of the council actually taking action, it's sort of weird or misguided. A council spent £5,000 on fake geese devices.
What?
Yeah. And this is what gets me about councils. While not sort of helping you in the real world, they just seem engaged in this sort of tech. Like, no, it's just like they're being conned by, I don't know, someone in the council's son.
Has a new online business.
Yeah, just crap inventions. Like the sort of thing a councillor might do in his spare time.
Why did they want fake geese?
Well, they wanted to get devices that emit honks and signs in order to attract a flock of visiting geese.
Oh, attract geese?
Yes,
right.
To a designated area. Essentially, they just couldn't be... they'd rather spend 5,000 than just pay, like, just someone to sit there just going...
yeah.
One of those geese called... that's it. That's it. That's it. That's essentially what they did. So they just had things that automatically go... for 5,000. Honestly, there's so many students and people knocking around. That's a great job for students.
When I was doing my first ever jobs, I'd have liked to have had a go. Attracting geese.
This is what gets me. This is a great way of using the nation's pensioners. Really? Geese substitutes.
Absolutely.
They'd
right.
love it. Out in the fresh air. Here comes some geese.
Some of them don't even need the special whistle.
No, of course not. They just make that noise. You know, you're right there, Audrey. I said to Beryl. when I'm walking down, them stairs, me back.
Any sign of them yet?
Not yet. Just keep doing it. Anyway, signs in order to attract a flock of visiting geese to a designated area. So these particular mating signs, only for the birds to ignore its efforts in favour of a nearby pitch and putt course. And that's the thing. Even the geese thought the council were providing bad service. Even they knew as they went through, they were thinking, oh, that's council.
No, that won't be worth it.
Honestly, I'm going to go on the pitch and putt course.
Yeah.
Anything but be involved with the council.
It's not
because if
work.
We go on that one,
it's not going to work.
I can tell that's a council thing. Just avoid it. Yeah. The pitch and putt, that'll be private. It's more luxurious.
Absolutely.
It's in
right,
private hands.
Yeah.
That'll be fine. Let's just stay away from anything to do with the council.
Sure.
And it's weird. Even geese know that.
Radio X.
Here's something I spotted in the paper that it's just nice to hear people still patronising China.
Okay.
Like it's not the most powerful nation on earth that's also at the forefront of everything.
Yeah, go on.
I mean, there's an old saying, is it, amongst my friends in the security services.
Sure, sure.
If you really want to get us ahead, if you really want to hold the Chinese back, let them have our secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
If you want to hold the Chinese back by a couple of years, just let them have our secrets.
Yeah, yeah. That'll slow them down.
If they copy those, that'll slow them down a bit. Anyway, Gav, you ready for this?
Go on.
But that's just my friends in the, you know, from when I was in the regiment and stuff. I don't want to talk about
it. Sure, sure.
But get this. This is in the Times. Superbly patronising. Are you ready for this? This is Diddy Tang writing from Beijing.
Yeah.
In the Times. She says,
A growing appetite in China for designer handbags, jewellery and high-end fashion.
What?
Appears to have been propelled by international travel restrictions being lifted. You're kidding me, right,
What, still now they're talking like this?
Yeah, and apparently in China, people really want to have designer handbags. They've even put designer handbags. I haven't heard that expression since like the 80s.
Me neither.
Designer handbags.
Yeah.
So the sort of thing you get on one of those, well, a sale ad outside somewhere you're about to go into places where you don't know any of the labels.
That's right.
Handbags made by Kiki of Milan.
Designer handbags.
Yeah, designer handbags.
Wow.
Lana of Paris. Kiki. You know what I mean?
Rome.
Yeah. Romista.
Lorenzini.
Lorenzini slippers.
Naples. You just got to put a city's name
afterwards. No, it's always Milan.
Yeah, always, yeah.
But I like Lorenzini. I always want to say, Gav, what are you offering? I want to buy that.
They're sunglasses, John. They're sunglasses.
Lorenzini sunglasses.
I just invented a brand. That's so exciting.
Really good. I've got one for you. Maresh.
Maresh?
Yeah,
Maresh.
I don't know. Maresh, very, very upmarket flip-flops.
Nice.
Maresh beach shoes.
They're £900 the pair.
Yeah, they also do.
And everyone's wearing them.
They also do sarongs.
Yeah.
A Maresh sarong. I mean, Gav, get this.
So what else are they excited about in China?
Well, they think spending on luxury brands is expected to exceed what they spend in the US. Consumers unable to travel to London, Paris, Milan, Dubai or New York spend 48% more on luxury brands within China.
My God.
Why, over there I saw a child swapping a pair of Nikes for some roller skates.
Unbelievable. They go into Blockbuster Video, very often wearing kickers.
I saw a child swap a hula hoop for some Walkmans. For a CD Walkman and MP3 player. All the time haggling over the price of blue jeans.
Denim jeans?
Yes, blue jeans. Combs in the back pocket are quite the style. I tell you what's massive at the moment in China. Happy days and everything fonts related.
They're writing about China now.
Yes.
The way people used to write about Moscow 25 years ago.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd.
That's mad, yeah.
Yeah. Now the style is to wear a comb in the back pocket, like the fonts.
And comb your hair in a ducktail.
Yeah, and go, hey. And go, no need.
They watch hours of music on MTV.
Yes. In their blue jeans.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tamer Hassan, and I want to welcome you all to my podcast called Family Business. Throughout the series, I'll be opening my phone book to invite my celebrity friends to speak to me about how their families shape them into who they are today. Listen and subscribe to Family Business now on Global Player or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is my 4 till 7 thing, and you just got lucky. Do you know what I mean? If you join me now. Boy, are you guys lucky.
Boy.
I got a show. Do you know what? I've got so much show for you today. Yes. It's like I've got a show that's got a show.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's got its own show.
It's got its own show.
Unbelievable.
You listen to the show. It's like the show has got a show within the show. So there's a public information campaign in Slough. And I've always sort of thought to myself, how do I regard masks? They're sort of accumulating in the side pocket in your car that's
full of
nuts and crap
and
parking tickets.
Yeah.
Is any, when you do get your ticket out of a car park, do rip it up, because that can get confusing. Once you get a bit of a pile of those, that's not today's.
Yeah, yeah.
So destroy that. Mm. Or just throw it out the window. Don't litter in. Anyway, so I'm just sort of thinking, there's no real set etiquette for it.
Right.
For what you do with old masks, how long they last.
Yeah.
But a public information campaign from Slough Borough Council has told us exactly how we should regard face masks.
Okay.
When you look at a face mask, regard it, they say, like pants.
Really?
Yeah, it's like you might as well just have your pants around your face, which I might start doing. I've got my briefs that I wear for sport and things.
Yeah, because they'd give good coverage, wouldn't they? And there's room for the eyes in the leg holes.
Do you have any briefs at all for doing sport?
I don't think I've got any briefs, no.
Okay, well, a lot of running shorts things come with a mesh underneath.
Yes, I've probably got some swimming shorts with
I don't like that. I take those out because if you've got quite big, powerful glutes, you can get what we call graunching.
Right, right. Yeah, you don't need that.
No. No. Graunching.
I thought that was a gearbox thing.
No, right. Graunching is when you get very heated buttocks.
Right, right.
When, no, I'm just saying graunching is when your buttocks get heated. Uh-huh. And if you're sitting down and in the mesh.
Like in a piazza or something.
No, not in a piazza. In a gym or something. You're just sitting down chatting with the fellas after a workout.
Sure.
And you're wearing your... Yeah, with your built-in mesh there, and they can graunch. It means you can just sort of, suddenly they get sort of hot and a bit itchy on the buttock. Yeah?
They sort of get just and you end up needing to scratch a buttock.
Yeah, you feel like, and it's just uncomfortable. It hasn't got what I call cotton comfort.
Yeah, because it's need cotton, like a decent thread count.
Right, on your on the buttock.
Yeah.
They graunch.
Sure, sure.
And you can feel it there, and it's sort of suddenly, and actually.
It's a synthetic material.
It's a synthetic, and it can get you in quite a bad mood.
I'm often
convinced that the violence on many of Britain's estates is down to overheating down there.
Graunch rage.
Due to man-made fibres.
You don't need that, yeah.
You just feel aggressive.
Automatically, yeah.
When you're wearing a lot of polyester, like shell suits particularly,
sure.
Anything like that, you see, or nylon tracksuit bottoms,
your rayons,
they make you aggressive. Yeah. Do you know why?
Why?
Because your bits, the genitalia, if you will, they're at what I call battle heat. It's to do with the G core, the gamma core. Sure. It's because your coracles are already at what I call battle heat. So,
and they don't need further stifling.
No,
with
normally they're only that
fibers.
Hot, literally, as Vikings went in. Anyway, that's all I'm saying. So there's issues there about graunching. Anyway, regard them like pants, but obviously don't put your pants around your face.
No.
You're like a lunatic.
Oh,
our landmark eccentrics. See item one.
Yeah.
So also, don't adjust or take it off in public. So hard not to adjust them, because sometimes all the little bits of fluff on the inside, they get all... If you've got a bit of a beard, which I have, it sort of goes up your nose and it's like...
When I'm putting mine on, it covers my eyes and I nearly go flying down the stairs at the underground.
There's no comfy point on my nose it can settle on.
Yeah.
Hence, I get what's called ocular graunching.
Sure.
Back to graunching.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It should cover everything it's meant to. Never wear anyone else's or loan yours out. When they get dirty, turn them inside out? No. Throw them away. So, let's go through that again. Slough says, regard them like pants.
Yeah.
Don't adjust or take it off in public. It should cover everything it's meant to. Never wear anyone else's or loan yours out. Who loans them out? You can borrow that, but I want it back tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want it back when you finish jogging, please. Anyway, so that's the Slough protocols for face masks. Everything else about the graunching and the theories about violent coracles, that's all mine. That's all come from me.
I'm going to start a pants rental business.
You should do, Kev, definitely. No, it's about face masks, Kev, not pants.
I'm joking.
Because that's the cotton you want around the buttocks.
Radio X.
What you got in your heroic little slot? I gather it's a Victorian quack?
Yes. So the hero today, Johnny, is Dr. Carter Moffat.
Go on.
And this is a story from 1884. He invented a thing called the ammonia phone.
What's the ammonia phone? Sounds dreadful.
Well, what did it cure? So it cured all lung-related conditions, including things like consumption, which was their word for TB.
Fantastic.
But its main purpose...
It cured TB?
Yeah, it cured anything to do with the pulmonary system. Any lung condition, it just cured it.
Wow.
But that wasn't its
lung
main...
Lung is pulmonary, is it?
Well, to do with delivery of blood through the lung system.
That's better, Gaff. Just clear it up for everyone. Yeah, you know, we get some real pedants on the line.
Anyway, that's what little Cy said earlier when I asked him. But its main purpose wasn't that. Its main purpose was to, and I'm quoting the advert here, it was to help, quote, clergymen, parliamentary men, church choirs, schoolmasters, vocalists. With the use of the ammonia phone, a poor voice becomes, and these are all in capitals, rich and massive.
It actually says massive.
Yeah. While great good is done to the general health.
Great good. Has the good got an E on the end?
No,
please.
It hasn't.
Damn, that's normally the mark of it. When they start adding E's, it's quacky.
So how did it do this?
Yes.
Well, what it was Dr. Carter Moffat. He was
Carter Moffat.
He invented a thing called Italianized air. Right? And this is going to really make you laugh, right?
No, Gav.
So I want to first of all let me
says the inventor. What do you mean? This is from the inventor of Italianized air.
Wait, so in those days, if you had a lung condition, you would be sent to a warm climate.
Yes.
And it made you feel better.
Yes, so he's found a way of Italianizing the air.
And now what he had done is once when he was in Italy, he analysed the air.
Right.
And he found a minute trace of ammonia and some hydrogen peroxide.
Yes.
So bleach. I don't know where he was. It might have been near a factory.
It might have been probably like a laundry.
Anyway, he decided that combination of things is what cured you of any pulmonary things.
Probably.
And because Italy produced so many good opera tenors, it also made your voice rich.
Yeah, it adds up, doesn't it?
So
if it smells like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a duck.
So it was a 25-inch metal tube with one of those wicking things like in a Zippo, which was drenched in ammonia and hydrogen peroxide with a bit of peppermint oil, and you just sucked on it for a year. every day for a year, after which your voice would be, quote, permanently improved in every way.
Fantastic.
They went out of business in 1893 after fraud claims.
Well, he quacks like a duck.
Dr. Carter Moffat.
Dr. Carter Moffat. Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7, thank. Why, we salute you. He quacks like a duck. And he is a quack.
Italianized air.
He docks like a quack. Italianized air is something so exciting, Gav. It's, oh, man. If you've dreamt of owning a Mini, that dream could soon become reality. Mini Financial Services offer tailor-made packages to help you get behind the wheel. You can get up to £1,350 towards a new Mini, and this offer is available with 3.9% APR representative. Mini like to keep things simple. They've got an arrangement to suit your needs, such as monthly payments and how long you want to pay for. The best part is you get to choose the Mini you drive away with. Personally, I'm not doing this to get any sort of discount, though one would be very welcome. I've got my eye on a Mini Countryman SUV. That's the Countryman SUV. It's got loads of space, super versatile, great for families or taking Jeff out for a walk. Plus, I've got my baby, Milton. It's the sort of car that a young dad like me really wants. Also looking at a Mini Clubman, which is packed full of tech. The offer is available for Mini Select agreements for new cars ordered by the 31st of March and registered by the 30th of June this year at participating retailers. So just search Mini Financial Services to find these and other great deals.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Gav, you're right.
Yeah, I'm really good.
I'm in such a good mood today because, because the West End is, as I say, it's like Detroit in the bad old days.
It's empty.
Flint, Michigan. Now, GM have naffed off. It really is. And the further you move out of London, actually, the more lively it gets.
Yes.
But as you come into central London, I don't know if it's like this in whatever city you're in or town, but it's just, it's so dull here. Mm. And every business has now got for sale signs up there, and it's just really bad. It's like, it's a cross between sort of, well, it's like 28 days later.
It really is.
Or you just, or it's like those sort of days, you know, when you get those days, you sort of think, is it 6 in the morning now, 6 in the evening? Have I got up at the wrong time? Why is everything shut?
Is this Sunday?
Is it Sunday? What have I got wrong here? I've just got something wrong here. Yeah. I must be at the wrong time. I don't know. Anyway, today I was walking through, and as you know, Gav, I'm a fan of landmark eccentrics.
Yes.
Ever since I was a kid, and I've beheld my first landmark eccentric, which is a character in Around Barnet, who was called the Badger.
Oh, yeah.
And the Badger was so cool because he was covered in badges.
Was he?
Yes, fascinating character. He was just covered everything with badges.
I had a guy near where I grew up who was just always in top hat and tails.
Yes.
Just walked around in top hat and tails.
There you go.
He wasn't even drunk. He just loved those top hat and tails.
I love a good religious landmark eccentric. Someone who has a mission.
Yeah.
Like the Oxford Street guy who, who thought that...
vegetarian guy.
Nuts. Yeah. Nuts, poultry and all protein would give you lust.
But sinful behaviours.
Sinful things. Anyway, Gav, do you remember years ago Techno Viking?
Yes, who can forget Techno Viking?
I still like to watch it. It's fantastic. Yeah. Unfortunately, they've changed the soundtrack on a lot of it, so people sort of think, oh, I can do better than that. You can't.
No, leave the original
The original, which is my favourite bit, is when someone hands him a bottle of water.
Yeah.
And the bottle of water, they hand the Techno Viking.
He's grooving away. Yeah.
He's grooving away, is upside down. You know, and that's how he likes it. Someone just hands him a bottle of water because Techno Viking must be thirsty. I just used to look at Techno Viking and think, where does he live?
I know, I wanted to know the backstory as well.
Also, what does he do when he's idling?
He's the Thor of dance.
What does he do? Do they just keep him tethered somewhere? Yeah, kenneled.
Because he'll just keep going.
Yeah, he just kenneled somewhere.
He anyway, sleeps like that, apparently.
But today I heard techno as I approached Leicester's crew. I just said... I see, where's that coming from? And then I heard the like a little,
because there's no cars around.
There's nothing around. So I heard this really loud techno. I think, oh, who's that? There's just two guys there walking along.
Yeah.
And as they walked, the music got louder. Right. And they're both sort of Landmark eccentric, sort
yes.
of a little bit on the edge of tramp.
Yeah.
And suddenly I realised one of them had it under his jacket.
Inside his clothing.
Yeah, but it was really big sound, Gav.
Really bassy.
Yes. I don't know how he's done it. But and also, Gav, no visible bumps.
The mind boggles.
No, but nothing visible. It looked like a normal over...
Some new product, maybe, that's using his body as the speaker.
I don't know. It could be. Gav, who knows?
It's a terrifying thought.
But we have. Yeah. Techno Tramp.
So you had full bass and everything, like proper...
Gav, it was loud. Yeah, it was really loud. He's going, I was thinking, who's... Because sometimes there's skaters out there...
And they've got...
Who seem to have claimed the city now. Yeah. Anyway, 83936, please. We're celebrating your Landmark eccentrics. Could be the first one you ever saw that excited you about these particular humans.
Who
really have turned their lives into a show.
Absolutely
you,
right.
You see them as
a bit of theatre, yeah.
When they get up and leave the house, they see it as showbiz.
Oh, yeah.
Early today, I passed the Turban Cyclists of Fulham.
Really?
Yeah, he's a guy on a cycle that just lights up. He's got lights everywhere. And today, he wasn't dressed in his normal, quite Indian gear.
Yeah.
He was dressed up as a ringmaster.
Oh, really?
For a circus.
Wow.
With a long, like, pink coat on.
All cyclists should have to dress
they
like
should
that.
They should do. But he was there, and he's just had a big flag on the back, and he's going through with loud music. So I've seen two Landmark eccentrics.
Excellent.
83936, get your Landmark eccentrics in, please. Let's celebrate them. Thank you so much for all your Landmark eccentrics. A beautiful selection. I think I'm going to get in touch with the website guys.
There needs to be some kind of publication compiling all these.
Certainly, Radio X listeners' favourite, the map of Britain with Landmark eccentrics.
A calendar at the very least.
Be like Pevsner.
Pevsner's Walks.
Pevsner's Walks. I've got a walk of Britain. Looking at. Anyway, let's get going with them. Simon, maybe some, some music that maybe the English Country Garden or something that's a bit eccentric and light and suggests we're going for a stroll through the more charmingly eccentric parts of Britain. Please. Perfect, Simon. Perfect. Oh, you can always fall back on cliche. and indeed, just did. In the 80s, we had Fag Ash Lil, who used to go around the town centre in Colchester. We later found out she lived in a really big old house, despite the fact she used to pick up fag ends from the floor.
Oh, that's
nice. Nice, that's lovely. Good Landmark eccentric, though. Gav.
A-op Johnny Ladd, in Leeds, we used to have the Saturday Raver. He would stand on a traffic island with traffic lights outside Rawcliffe's. No matter what time, he'd be there giving it the big fish, little fish.
Cardboard box. Just looking, he says there, just looking trampy.
Yeah.
Hey, TJ, in Norwich, we have the Puppet Man.
Yeah.
All day, every day, he stands on the high street playing music from a stereo with a sock-like puppet on each hand, dancing to the music.
Wow.
The beauty is, he's not even in time. And then it just finishes off. And this is the key thing.
Yeah.
And if you could always end your text with this.
Yeah.
Well, not this guy in particular. Whoever your bloke or woman is, he's just put, everyone knows the Puppet Man. Of course they do. That's why they do it. It's a very, very cheap way to become famous. Go on, Gab.
There's a brilliant one here. A well-known, part scary, part over-familiar local eccentric in Beckenham actually attended my wedding.
Wow!
He spotted me and my mates walking to the church in full clover, followed us in and sat at the back. I didn't realise until I spotted him applauding wildly as me and my newly married wife made our way back down the aisle after the service.
That is a Landmark eccentric. That's what we want. That's what we want, ladies and gentlemen. Brilliant Landmark eccentric. Here's one. My favourite Landmark eccentric would have to be the cycling shaking Stevens tribute in 80s Grimsby. Fully decked out in denim, he had studied Shaky on his back, and an old-style tape recorder blasting out Green Door would announce his coming. Better still, he had a car battery bungeed to his bike rack and a CB radio fixed to his handlebars from which he would chat to passing truckers.
Oh, man.
Come on, who's falling for that? He wasn't chatting to anyone, and you know it. Go on, next one, Gav.
Dave in Tilsley says, in Astley near Manchester, there's a bloke rides around on a penny farthing.
Oh, nice.
I heard a few rumours about him until one day he rode the other way as I drove by, his long coat flapping behind him.
Good eccentric. Very good eccentric. Okay, you ready for this?
Go on.
This is just great. It's the names I love.
Yeah.
And remember, if you do send it anymore, remember, everyone knows whatever. But yeah, in our small town in County Durham, our landmark eccentric is known as Bavarian Dude. He cycles everywhere dressed in full Bavarian national costume, including the Lederhosen. Thank you so much, Gail. Remember, at the end of that, you could have put, everyone knows the Bavarian Dude. Here's one, Conrad Pugsley.
This is
what
my favourite.
A great
what
name.
What a name.
He dresses as a wizard and walks the streets of Sutton and Croydon with his black cat, Zagan. on his shoulder. That's George in Carshalton. Thank you so much, George. Celebrating Conrad Pugsley. That's what they should be called, right, Gav?
Yeah, definitely. Especially with a cat called Zagan.
Can I just tell you, Gav has been laughing. That came in at 1641.
I've been laughing.
By that I mean the time, not the year.
Just the name had been
and Gav has been in a giggly mood ever since. You've really cheered him up. Thank you so much, Geordie Carshalton. Next one, Gav. Come on.
Steph in Ramsbottom says, growing up in Bolton, we had a man called Mister with very silky long hair who used to do the Shaka hang loose sign at every passing person, car or bus. In return, people did it back and said, all right, Mister. I remember asking my dad what his name was and he shrugged and said, it's just Mister.
It's just
Legend
Mr.
Legend of Harwood.
Thank you so much, Steph in Ramsbottom. Here's one. Growing up in Bournemouth, beautiful Boscombe to be precise, we had a guy who cycled around the local area with a metallic homemade bucket shaped helmet on his head with a slot cut out for his eyes. He was also adorned in various political end of the world messages. He sounds marvellous. Go on, Gav, next up.
Deb in Sitcup says, our landmark eccentric was the ginger traffic controller.
Incidentally, I love the sound of this guy.
Yeah, he used to stand on the walkway above the traffic just before the southbound entrance to the Blackwall Tunnel.
I love it when they've got an MO.
And when the lights were red, he'd stand there watching them. As soon as they changed, he would start frantically waving the traffic through.
Oh,
he used to cheer us all up on the way home from work and get loads of toots.
What fun.
Brilliant.
Yeah, but what gets me is all these people are out on Instagram trying to get famous. Everyone's out there doing rubbish talent show on tellies. Don't.
No.
You just be a landmark eccentric. Be happy with it. This guy is probably much better known than anyone on Instagram.
Absolutely.
Literally,
right.
He probably gets more. Every time one of those beeps is, in the early days, that was a like.
Definitely. What, 10,000 likes?
Likes.
There's an update on the Worthing Dandy.
Yes, I remember the Worthing Dandy. We heard about him earlier, sorry. I remember the Worthing Dandy. When visiting my grandma as a kid, he was always at a crossroads as you entered Worthing, dressed in a striped blazer and straw boat with a cane. He'd give you a Chaplin-esque show to entertain the traffic where the lights
That's
were
brilliant.
Red. What a guy. TJ and Gav, when I lived in Bedford, there used to be an attractive, slim, middle-aged lady that used to walk around the town centre, always in a fairly nice dress, often brightly coloured, but she used to wear a Hawaiian garland of flowers around her neck and always carried with her a folded-up, full-size ironing board, usually under one arm. Tremendous. Tremendous.
Awesome.
That's Max in Milton Keynes. Thank you so much for celebrating a really good clutch of landmark eccentrics today. Beautiful. You know what? Small business owners have always worked really hard, like a kind of salmon swimming upstream. But the stream, yeah, that's Niagara Falls. And these days, they have to work even harder to get up those falls. Anyway, Barclaycard Business are there to suit your changing business needs. That's the point. Whether you're taking payments face-to-face, I don't know, online or phone, whether you're moving your pet shop online or shifting from in-house dining to a takeaway, make accepting payments or moving payments online the easier part of adapting your business with a reliable, flexible and helpful payment provider. Barclaycard Business. Take every payment seriously. Search Barclaycard Business.
Radio X. Johnny
Vaughan.
Gav, I've got three bits of retail news for you.
Let's do it.
One, great news for all those dry January bores.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, which they are.
Yeah.
How dare you? Don't try and tell me how I'm going to literally lay low an already beleaguered sector, which it isn't. Dry January proved more of a wet month. Alcohol sales soared 29%. Get in there.
Okay.
And that's great.
Yeah.
You didn't let the charity people or whatever sponsored Dry January or whatever. I don't know who gains, actually.
Yeah.
Who gains? Oh, health. Sorry. Anyway, 234 million quid higher.
Wow.
Britain's under lockdown spent a billion more on food and drink in the month than they did a year ago. Get in there. Do you know why, Gav?
Why?
It says it three times in the Bible. A man hath no greater pleasure under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. Says it in Corinthians, says it in Ecclesiastes, says it in a book of the Old Testament. It's so true. Admittedly, it's saying you've got to work first. It's not just saying go out there and get hammered.
Don't only eat, drink and be merry.
Yes, it means you work on the other sixth day. Yeah. But if you work, then you have no greater pleasure
than to eat and drink. Correct.
Which I always see as that's what Holy Communion's about. It's not about standing being in a horrible, uncomfortable...
It's a celebration of a party.
Yes, it's meant to be eat, drink and the communion is be merry.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean go and sit there feeling all uncomfortable. It makes your lunch go down nicer. So that's the first bit of good news.
Okay.
Second bit of extraordinary retail news.
Go on.
When is chocolate not chocolate? When it's 100% chocolate, according to German bureaucrats.
Really?
So Rittersport, one of Germany's most popular confectionery firms, has railed against preposterous rules that forbid it from referring to its 100% cacao bar because the product does not contain added sugar.
And therefore, it's not chocolate.
Yes.
That's insane.
It's insane.
That is insane.
But also a great example of German marketing.
Really
just
is.
Just to get the message
out.
We're
all talking about it now. Yeah.
The spokesman, Andreas Ronken, the managing director, said it could easily circumvent the rules by adding a tiny pinch of sugar. But he told the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, which is still the best-looking paper in Europe, he said, "It is preposterous! If you can make sausages from peas! Chocolate doesn't need sugar! Wake up!"
Yeah.
"This is the new reality!" So that's what he said. And I presume that's how he speaks. Last bit of retail news. Have I still got a bit of time?
Yep.
One more bit of retail news. Last bit of retail news comes to us from Naples, where mafia drug retailers...
Yeah.
Often called dealers, but I had to get it into the retail news somehow, and I wanted to get the story in, and I get allowed, you know. So ambulance drivers in Naples are demanding police protection.
Why?
Because the local mafia or Camorra ordered them not to use their sirens and flashing lights because they're disturbing drug pushers. What happens is all the punters coming up hear an ambulance and they think it's a police car.
And they scalp.
And it's really bad for business. They're complaining about it. So in the latest incident, an ambulance travelling to an emergency in the city's Spanish Quarter on Saturday night, which must be a party quarter, I would think.
Yeah.
With its siren on, was suddenly flanked by two men on a large motorbike. "Have you banged on the window?" They said, "Haven't you understood? You cannot use your siren here. Massipats! Turn it off or we'll shoot you," one of the men told the driver, who later called the police to escort them out of the... So there we go. That's the latest mafia retail news.
Wow.
Radio X. Should I stay
or should I go? The Clash, right here on your Radio X, where they belong. We're the home of The Clash, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Defo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know, I once met Joe Strummer. I mean, I saw The Clash three or four times live. I was lucky as a kid.
Mm.
But I once actually had lunch with him when I worked in a shop.
I can't believe that.
It was unbelievable. It's amazing even at the time, because I was 19 years old. He was my absolute hero.
Mm.
And I went into a place called HD Peppercorns, which is like a sandwich bar just off Bond Street. And I used to work in a shop there that had just opened.
Yeah.
Where you used to go. You went to the one in Covent Garden.
Oh, the clothes shop. Yeah, yeah.
I was always sent to the new shops because I was a good salesman. A very oily salesman. Anyway. And I went into this place just to get myself a sandwich. And weirdly, a few weeks before, have I told you the story before on air?
You've told me. I don't know if we did it on air. Yeah, go on.
Shall I stop now?
No, it's Joe Strummer. Tell the story.
Okay, it was amazing. And because at the time, I don't think you realise, I think it's hard for us to realise, this was sort of late 80s. And at the time, The Clash were a proper supergroup.
Massive.
Like, along the lines of The Who, The Stones,
yeah,
The Beatles.
Yeah.
One of those ones that were huge in the States. Like
stadium
yeah, big.
Yeah.
Like, and actually, bigger than any American bands had ever been.
That's
remember,
right, yeah.
This time America really didn't have any of its own big bands.
No.
They maybe had Aerosmith, maybe Lynyrd Skynyrd a little bit, but
yeah.
Still these were their couple of tunes. These were not like ones that just kept banging out the hits, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
And were that big. And also liked by all of America.
Yeah, yeah.
They really just loved British bands. They loved them.
Indeed,
I suppose
yeah.
It almost, as a Coldplay sort of continue that,
right.
That tradition,
yeah, yeah.
But in quite a saccharine way compared to the rock and roll we used to dish up for them. I'm not saying this to be sort of didactic.
No,
about,
they used to carpet bomb the yes, Clash across
yeah.
MTV all the time
yeah.
In America at the time. Yeah.
Well, you can still see in films from that era a symbol of any child's rebellion is anything Union Jackish in their blackened
yeah, yeah.
Bedroom. You
yeah.
Know, they'll just show if you've got a Union Jack and a Clash poster, that means they're unorthodox.
That's right.
They're
yeah.
Like British bands.
Yeah.
And that goes even through things like The Beat. And The Specials, you'll see some things
yeah.
Like, you know. Anyway, so I was, so they globally, the Clash at this time were just, even though the best music was sort of behind them then, because they'd done Should I Stay or Should I Go, and I Fought the Law and things, their last act, Combat Rock thing, was a few years before.
Yeah.
So I walked in there, and Joe Strummer was about as big as you could. In my world, was the biggest you could get.
Yeah.
And he was just, he was, and it was the only place I could sit down. Was on this table. I didn't know it was Joe Strummer at first. So I sat on this table, and the figure next door to me has got up and got to get something else. It was only when he came back to the table I was on.
His face.
I saw
on.
It was Joe Strummer.
Yeah,
and he was just getting another bit of soup.
Right.
He was eating soup, and he was going like that.
Because he had a couple of teeth.
And I said, "What's the matter?"
Yeah.
And he said, I just have a wisdom tooth out.
Oh, right.
I go, I had that a month ago.
Right.
It's worst, isn't it?
It's, I've had it before.
And
it's
we
weird,
just had
yeah.
The most brilliant, avoiding all music. We had this discussion. I was just telling about my wisdom teeth, how I couldn't get a place at a dentist's.
Right.
Because my dentist was miles away. So I'd had to go to a hospital. He goes, what happened? I go, well, I had a student do it. He's gone, a student. Christ, that must have been a nightmare. What, they let a student loose on your mouth? I've gone, yeah.
Well, he was a dental student.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
Wasn't just a student.
Yeah,
he's
a dental student. He wasn't just a student in Ragwick.
Yeah.
And I said, just a student. I don't know. I found out afterwards the guy was.
He'd done a bit of dental.
The guy said, it was geology. used the same tools. And I said, no, he said, so he really wanted to know about it. I said, do you know, at one point, he said, it looks like you've got another cheeky fourth root
right.
On this one.
Yeah.
It looks like cheeky fourth root, like the other side. And he started wobbling. And at one point, to try and get it out, he had his knee on my chest.
Oh, man.
To try and get it out. And Joe was like, oh, don't. And then I said, I said, they then injected me with adrenaline, which they do to stop the blood flow.
Okay.
If they've had to hack into the jaw.
Right.
I don't be too careful. I said, Joe, I was sitting there just looking out on the 20th floor, whatever it is, of Guy's Medical School.
Yeah.
Of the hospital, because that's where the dental thing, I don't know if it still is.
Yeah.
And I was looking out over London, feeling like the best thing in my life is about to happen because of the adrenaline. He goes, and he's going, yeah, you must have felt high. And, I was always saying that. He says, yeah, you must have been literally high. I said, yeah, I was high and I lie. He goes, with this guy sort of talking about a cheeky fourth root, he's going, oh, blinding. He said, and was you really like out of it? Well, not quite in that voice. I said, yeah. And then he started telling me about his. And it was just we had a lovely lunch. Didn't
I
mention,
wish I'd met
didn't
Joe
mention,
Strummer.
Didn't mention music, apart from the end. I said, I was a big fan. He's
yeah.
Going, yeah, yeah, yeah. But,
but
you know, that seemed embarrassing. It was
yeah.
Sort of like, you
it was
know,
an afterthought.
I sort of realised I shouldn't have, you know, for years I used to think, God, I wish I'd asked him about music. We had an hour there, or three quarters of an hour, whatever I had for lunch, just sitting with Joe Strummer, just talking about
that's
stuff.
Brilliant.
And it was really nice avoiding the subject of music, really because it was such a big subject, didn't know how to bring it up.
Yeah.
I couldn't suddenly sort of go, oh, by the way, I've seen you three times on a massive cast, and I'm almost like a stalker. You know?
Which you've never said, but he's heard said 87 million times.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Right. Anyway, we talked about wisdom teeth. There we go.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Maybe tomorrow. I love singing along with that one. And I think, team, do you like me singing along?
It's great, yeah.
Like, what I do
we
is
all
I
really
whack
enjoy
out
it.
My headphones and I just yeah. Really get into it. And I just do that. Maybe tomorrow.
It's that little bit of croak in the voice.
My
yeah.
Wee.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Ooh, sugar. Always add that word into songs.
He doesn't say sugar in that
song. He does.
Song.
He goes, maybe tomorrow. Ooh, make my way. Ooh, sugar. When did that song sort of disappear from tunes? We should start adding it into all
tunes. I really want Kelly to just do a version with the word sugar in it here and there.
We should start putting it into more tunes, definitely.
See if anyone notices.
Yeah. Just all tunes. Come away, oh, sugar. A frown would definitely be overheard doing that always.
It's gotta be done,
I'm going to do that. Hey, get this, guys. What? A girl was in intensive care in Alice Springs. This is why I'm glad I don't live in Australia. Yeah,
yeah, go on.
Two stories today to make you glad you don't live in Australia. One.
Go on.
A 10-year-old girl was in intensive care, right? In Alice Springs yesterday after she was bitten twice.
By what?
Twice.
Twice.
You called her twice? Danny. Sorry, that's one of my favourite quotes from...
About last night.
Well, yeah, it's actually Sexual Versions in Chicago, the David Mamet play,
right.
But I'll give you that because you're ignorant.
Sure.
You don't know your way around the theatre. A 10-year-old girl was in intensive care in Alice Springs yesterday, bitten twice by one of the world's most venomous snakes, the King Brown Snake.
Oh, yeah?
Presumably, it's called the King Brown Snake. Presumably the is silent, which slipped under her bed covers. It was disturbed as the girl. I hate that. Oh, don't disturb it. It's my sodding bed.
Yeah, exactly.
About disturbing the snake.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to tell you what it's done to my daughter.
The snake is doing the disturbing.
Oh no, that's don't disturb it.
What colour is it? Do you think it might be brown?
I don't know, but I wish I'd had a. I wish it's one of those occasions you wish you had a revolver. The girl climbed in, bit her on both feet. The girl has not been... She's now in a stable condition. But hang on a second, guys, because that's not the only one on the same page of the paper, Gav.
Yeah.
Amazingly, get this, right?
Yeah.
A couple planning a morning swim found a 10-foot crocodile in their pool.
What? A swimming pool?
Yes. You just don't need that.
You don't need that.
No, admittedly, that was in South Africa, but still terrifying.
Yeah, definitely. It's not like a bird's flown into your front
room. And also, you can still sort of blame Australia.
Yeah,
because some people muddle them. They're quite easily muddleable. So, again, Australia.
Well, it might have been a saltwater pool. Maybe it was a salty croc.
Here's the bandit, Kings of Leon. See if you can find an opportunity to sing the word sugar in this one. No, it's a harder one to get it in. I'll be working on my game throughout it. I expect you to do the same.
Hello, my name's Craig Doyle, and this is The Contact Book, the show where we look back at the life and times of our guests with a little bit of help from those who know them best. As we navigate the highs and the lows of their lives, we have access to their contact book and call those who lived through the experiences with them. It's awkward and it's endearing in equal measure, and the truth behind all those tales will be revealed. So please do subscribe to The Contact Book on Global or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, sugar.
Nice.
Oh, sugar. Yeah. That's the sugar mix.
Yeah.
Of course it goes in, Gav.
You've got to bide
your time. But
you do, must catch the
bandit. Oh, sugar. Yeah. Please, we've just got to start a campaign to bring sugar, a bit more sugar. Just to bring make songs a bit sweeter.
Exactly. The world needs that right now.
Well, I thought it sounded really good.
I think it really did.
I don't know why you're all being so cynical and laughing at me.
I'm not cynical.
I just really made that song actually sound a lot fresher, even though it's quite new.
Radio X.
Now, I know that Little Sykes, he's something of a whipping boy on the show. He's not really. He's a very well-respected producer. And he's a proper radio man, and we love him massively. I say this because...
he knows the market.
Because it might appear like we're bullying him in a second. Now, Little Si, during that song you came up, we were just talking about Jeff Bezos, who's obviously done amazing things building Amazon up, but you really brought home how big Amazon is with this. Go on, tell him what you just
this
told us. No, but tell him what you told us, because it blew my mind.
You had a stat, didn't you?
You had a stat, go on.
In the UK,
yeah,
Amazon sell or Amazon make as much money as John Lewis and Marks and Spencer's combined.
So Marks & Spencer's had year-on-year losses. They're always in the, and John Lewis, I think, had an okay Christmas.
Struggling a bit, though.
And,
yeah.
And I've never bought, and I've bought nothing from either. And
so
I don't know anyone who
has. Huge worldwide dominating company is making more money than some shrinking retail businesses.
So if you want to, if you want to wow your family, and I seem to remember last year actually, John Lewis, despite that Elton John advert, I think they made even bigger losses.
I think that's where all their profit went into
pay for Elton John. Yeah. That's probably just for his flowers. I know he likes every week. Listen, little Simon, can I just say, if you're going to drop a fact on us, yeah? And it's about Amazon. Yeah. Make it one of those ones, like, if you'd invested a quid in 19... Make it one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd now own Harrods.
Yeah. Really, like, surprising,
really
ones.
Really surprising. Yeah. But just say, they outperformed. Giving not even by how much. But if you are sitting down for dinner with anyone and any fact comes out, just say, I was listening to, a little Si on the on the 4 till 7 thing. He reckons Amazon took more money in the UK.
Amazon
took more money in the UK than John Lewis and Marks and Spencer's combined.
That's interesting.
Well, I'm not surprised they did. I mean, I've got to tell you, Amazon took more than Jay's news shop round the front of where I live.
They did,
in the last year. Just saying they made more. By how much?
They don't sell anything, Amazon. They sell everything.
They sell everything.
Literally everything. And if they don't sell it to you, they make it and sell it to you.
Yeah, yeah. And let's face it, Marks & Spencer have only just started stocking Heinz ketchup. Rather than own rather than own brand stuff. And John Lewis, they're beleaguered. Let me tell you, you even go into one of their shops, they'll say, have you tried going online? You go, no, that's why I'm in the shop.
That's right, yeah.
It's easier if you shop online. John Lewis, one of the only places they persuade you not to go in there. They actually tell you it's much easier if you go online.
We can get that for you and send it to you.
Let me have a look. If you want to go on the terminal, I've actually pushed aside the salesman and said, well, I'll just do your, can I just use your terminal? And bought something online at John Lewis.
In the shop.
Well, in John Lewis. What was that stat again? No, go on. What was it? Just once more, just to blow away listeners' minds.
In the UK, Amazon take as
it
much
is
money
as
Marks & Spencer's and John Lewis.
Oh, God. As Marks & Spencer's and John Lewis. I've got to tell you, it is. By 83936, please join in. 83936 with what has turned out to be the most unbelievable. And little Simon's always on about his shares. But I suspect, having listened to that, a lot of his shares are quite a safe
his
bet.
Portfolio is very sound.
Well, what I've done is I've taken a position on gold very long term. No, it's the most dreary piece of 83936, please, full reaction. Have you got anything else that you can add to little side, I think it's just as impressive as that. Yeah. Be careful, don't show him up. How about that? Can you believe that? That's the fact I want you to take home from today's show. That last year in the UK,
Minnows, Amazon,
startup, that Amazon took more money than John Lewis and Marks and Spencer's combined.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
I thought it'd be impossible to better that fact of little size, which was in the UK. Hurry up, we haven't got limited time.
In the UK, Amazon made as much money as Marks & Spencer's and John Lewis combined.
As much money.
As much as that.
Yeah, as much as Marks & Spencer's. No one ever goes any more. No, anyway, eBay have got more auctions than Sotheby's and Christie's combined, says Tim.
Wow.
Staggered by that.
Jeff Bezos has earned more than me and my mates combined, says Jamie and Red
that's
Car.
That surprised me, Jamie. I know you roll with quite a fast crowd.
Chelsea have won more matches in the FA Cup than Yeovil Town and AFC Wimbledon. Combined.
Thank you so much for that. I think little Si might be suggesting, despite all the sales that Amazon make in the UK, they pay very little tax. Thanks for that. Yeah. That's a bit too interesting, though.
Yeah.
Someone else is texting saying, little Si, what do I go with? VHS or Betamax? So they're really sensing, I think, little Si. Danielle says that fact's just aged her 10 years.
Yeah, well. You're going to get
how about that? And someone else just saying, please, in future, can we have Joe or Vin? And I think that says it all.
That's just blown my mind.
Radio X.
To local conservationists. For that, read conservatives. Mm-hmm. I always do.
Yeah, go on.
It was an unspoilt gem.
What was?
Right. To the rookie gravediggers, it was an opportunity to hone their craft.
There's a craft.
What?
Grave digging's easy, man. I mean, really, it's, especially you've got one of those miniature JCBs. I've had a session on a JCB because I had to use some for an advert for that show.
Are they hard to operate?
You can learn in 3 minutes.
Seriously?
Yeah, and that is like, it really, by that, after 3 minutes, you're starting to do the stuff they do at Digger World.
You're kidding.
No, you can go up on the things.
Wow. And,
It's a doddle. It really is. And it's not like those old ones. It's easier than...
It's one little joystick.
It's like, no, two. Yeah. It's like up and down. It's like gaming.
Excellent.
No, it's much easier. It's so easy.
I've always wanted one. I'm going to get one.
It's harder to work a simulator. Anyway, these trainees, they've been asked by Mendip District Council.
Yeah.
Mendip sounds like something really South London, doesn't it? District Council to dig practice graves in an area. To dig practice graves.
Wow.
It's some COVID conspiracy, this, isn't it?
It might be, yeah.
Go and dig some practice graves. Anyway, but there was an error in communication. Instead, they unleashed their JCB on an adjacent field.
Yeah.
Which is described as a green space of significant ecological value. The campaigners are trying to fight to save for development. Probably because they think it's going to bring hordes of city folk here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or people we don't really like because they're not, because, well, we don't want them here.
And we were here before.
Yes.
That's it, yeah.
When we, at least we've moved out of the city, we bought something better. I tell you what we bring here, conservatism.
That's right.
Anyway, get this. They're digging a hole in the ground. They compacted all the ground around it, flattened it. They upset animals that would be in the soil. There are no animals in
Britain. It's worms.
There's no
worms.
Animals in Britain. There's none.
Yeah, yeah.
None that I've ever seen. I once saw a kingfisher. I saw a snake in Scotland once.
I saw a fox in the middle of London.
Oh, no, you get foxes in London everywhere. Yeah. They don't hide here because there's nothing to fear.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
They're the apex predator.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of them, the spokesman for these people said, we feel passionately about this field.
Mm.
It's just a field. They've dug holes in a field.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, that strikes me as rectifiable. I tell you what you do.
If you just leave it alone.
Well, no, you just put the stuff back in.
That's
you
it.
Just, what, JCB?
And walk away.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's just like pressing rewind.
It'll all grow again.
Visually, yeah. We feel passionate about this field. It's not a bit of agricultural land that's been intensely farmed. It hasn't been touched by human development. The land was formerly part of a park owned by Sir Henry Hopes. They describe it, the field, as a peerless, unspoilt gem in Froome's natural crown. It's a field. It's a field. I've looked at a picture. There's houses around it.
Yeah.
It's a field.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And these people are training to be grave diggers, and Britain needs that.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
During lockdown, I've been growing my hair. Turns out my hair, and I didn't realise this, it's jet black.
It really
and
is.
And actually not nearly as bald as I thought. It's rather like when they, in a church, they chip away at a wall.
Yeah.
And behind it, they find covered up all that time is quite a bad bit of pseudo-Renaissance work from the sort of 1600s. No, from the 18th century that was done then and is sort of chipped away a bit and isn't that good. And the hands are bad. You know, it's like that. But it's a sort of pseudo-Michelangelo from, wherever. It's sort of 17th century, maybe. Debating which era of forgery my hair. Yeah. Anyway, I thought it'd be brown or grey, like my beard. But no, it is black. Consequently, my partner Vanessa has taken to playing black velvet at me through the loo door whenever I'm sitting in there, just trying to get a bit of quiet with a National Geographic. She knocks and mocks my noirish locks.
Mm.
It's her mock anthem, Black Velvet. Black velvet and it's off. In fact, Gav started playing it a bit earlier during an ad break. I thought, what's he listening to? He goes, check this. Points to the little side to put the huge speakers on. I get it in here.
And we boogied away.
No, we didn't. It's just annoying. And I hated it at the time. It's one of those made up bands, isn't it, from Nashville. Anyway, you then started sending in yours, which has led us to a brand new feature. Mock.
Sing
it. Mock. We've had the mock anthem used when greeting a bloke called Matt Arena. Hey, Matt Arena!
Oh, God, he must have hated it.
How annoying. It's an annoying song.
Can you imagine?
Well, do you know, for ages, when I used to work in a jeweller's in London's West End, Aspreys, actually, it's a bit more than a jeweller's. And when it was really big.
Yeah.
And there used to be a security guy there called Joe, and every day I went past, he used to go, hello, John, got a new man, huh?
Oh, God.
And one day he went too far with it, and I said, "Hello, Joe, got a new joke? Get?"
Did you?
Yeah,
and a bouncer.
No, yeah, but just screwing it, really went down badly. And he was a Chelsea fan.
Oh God,
it really went down badly.
You mocked him.
Yeah, I mocked him. I mocked him with song. Go watch it. Also, we've had Ken De La Vega, an Aussie IT guy. He gets mocked with this at work. People go, "No need to ask." He's a Ken De La Vega. Ken, which I sing, despite the fact I don't sing Smooth Operator by Sade. Here are a few we've had in. Thank you so much, number ending 6400. Please put your name on. It's nice to have people rather than numbers. You know, it's not prison.
Yeah.
But here's a few more we've had in. Anyway, here we go. Hey, Tej, I wish to remain... Oh, sorry. I wish to remain anonymous.
Ah.
But there's a lady where... Ah, except with that. That's a codicil.
Yeah.
There is little known codicil in the Faber College Constitution. But there's a lady where we work called Beverly Chetty. Whenever she calls our desk, we erupt into a chorus of, whoa, Bev Chetty, bam, ba, lam, whoa, Bev Chetty, bam, ba, lam, Bev Chetty, bam, bam, ba, lam, ba, lam, bingo, wow, bam, ba, lam, whoa, Bev. Always gets a laugh, keep up the sterling work. Do you know what Black Betty was, Gav?
What?
A whip.
Was it?
Yeah.
What, is it a sailing thing?
No, worse than that, Gav. Goes back to some very dark days indeed in Bammy. Wow. Go on, Gav, what you got?
Okay, this is from Leanne. She says, I was a huge Culture Club Boy George fan growing up.
Oh, Christ.
And all my family still, to this day, sing to me, come here, Leanne.
Do you know what, Gav? When I worked with Lisa Snowden, one of the funniest stories I've ever heard from anyone in terms of, like, stalky fandom.
Yeah.
Lisa Snowden, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. No, she won't. She was mad about Culture Club.
Oh, really?
And she lived in... where is it? Well, in Garden City.
Right.
Yeah? Britain's first garden suburb.
Yeah.
Which is really weird when people boast about that. No, it was the first garden suburb in Britain. You're thinking, I wish there weren't any.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gav, get this. She was told by some locals that Culture Club, that Boy George is going to be coming to the park later.
No.
Yes, by some guys.
Rumor. Yeah,
her and her mates, by these guys. She must have been a bit dodgy. And so she got really excited, and they were all waiting for Boy George to make an appearance in the park, yeah? And this bloke turned up and said, he can't be here, but he sent some of his hair.
No,
they had long hair that they then handed out to Lisa and her mates. They gave them a bit of hairy.
Do you know what that is? That's actually a thing we do for love.
Yes,
that's someone trying to get Lisa down there. And
no, I don't think it is. I think I'm not sure. At the time, we didn't dwell on the details. Can't believe me. You don't know. I can assure you, it wasn't. Go on, what you got? Oh no, it's me.
Yeah, go on.
Dwayne in Nottingham. You're right, Dwayne. I've always been blessed with sympathetic and supportive friends to illustrate just how much. They would constantly sing to me, you're so Dwayne. You probably think this song is about you.
You're so Dwayne.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we have mocked you on Radio X. Keep those coming in. 83936. Absolutely love that. Again, another thing we haven't got to really work on, Gav, if they keep sending those.
Beautiful.
Just sit back and we can enjoy the show you provide for us.
Radio X.
So, I've made a bit of a slip-up.
Why?
Well, you know I give it the big meat eater.
Sure.
Well, I've been giving it the big meat eater for these few years, and I find myself...
You're a hyper-carnivore, aren't you?
I'm a hyper-carnivore, yeah, no doubt, but I need the protein, Gav, for the gains.
Sure.
Anyway, along with the protein shakes.
Sure.
Anyway, Gav, protein shakes sounds like, you know, people are really heavy drinkers. That's just the protein shakes is what that is. Yeah, I've had the protein shakes, but it'd be right when I get a bit of vodka in here. Because it's made of, well, it's carbohydrate with a potato, but it'll...
Cheese has a lot of protein. They should do cheese shakes.
Cheese shakes?
Like mature cheddar shakes.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea, Kev. That's going to catch
up. I'll have the blue cheese shake.
Have a Danish blur shake. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be horrible.
Brilliant. Good name for a Blur tribute band.
Oh, yeah.
Danish Blur.
Yeah,
that'd be great, man. From Denmark. Yeah. That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? So, sorry, Gav, what other ideas you got for milk race? So we got, you got cheese shakes, anything else? That's a really good idea. I'd buy that.
Things that have protein in
it. No, but just more cheese, basically. What other things?
Well, I don't know.
How about a cheeseburger?
What? We cheese?
No, it's just cheese.
Just cheese?
Just cheese.
Yeah, that's a cheese sandwich, isn't
it? Just cheese. With a thin strip of meat on it.
What, vegan meat?
No, just a bit.
Just a thin, instead of the cheese, the other way around.
Yeah, the other way around.
A hunk of cheese with a one grain thick
critical
slice
thickness.
Of
Literally,
meat.
A critical thickness.
Like a carpaccio.
Great idea.
Beef,
and then you'll have that with a cheese shake. So what are you going to call this place, Gav? The Cheese Shack? Gav's Cheese Shack. Can I have a... That's a fantastic idea,
Gav. Disgusting, a mature cheddar shake.
I can feel this. Absolutely disgusting. Listen, the only reason cheese was invented anyway, it was invented in the years of cave dwellers.
Yeah.
When old people were just shuffling around the back of the cave.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of this. Yeah, this is my own theory. It's not anywhere out there, but I've noticed as you get older, you like stronger cheeses and stronger flavors.
Stronger things, yeah.
And this is because, as an old person, that's all they left you with. Yeah. I just toss the old sods some old milk. And people go back and go, what have you got to eat that we can steal? And they go, nothing. I wouldn't bother with that. And people smell it and go, oh my God, that's
horrible.
Disgusting. Yeah. And here's what backs that up. Mm. You'll notice they say cheese gives you nightmares. Mm. You know why that is?
Why?
Because we noticed the other day, that smell of rancid food, that's the key human sense. You can, it's one part in a billion. You can sense that bit of rancid food. That's like sharks with blood. That's what makes humans fight. Just being able to pick that out, because that'll harm you.
Yes.
And the reason cheese gives you nightmares, as you know, I believe dreams are where you update your survival app. So if you have a traumatic experience, you will have a nightmare, because inside your brain while you're sleeping, you're updating those to
resorting the data.
It's resorting your basic survival apps, which is why that cheese, strong cheeses, will give you nightmares, because it's now reconfiguring that particular smell as not being deadly.
Right.
It's actually gone into things that will kill you, stuff you should definitely not eat. It's suddenly having to rethink it. It's saying, well, actually, you can if it's that little bit of cheesy.
Yeah, just that cheesy.
You imagine the back of the cave, nothing in there, just a few scraps of cheese.
You won't like it.
No, that's just old milk in those buckets.
It's gone off, you won't like it.
It's gone off. Yeah, what is that? Is this what you lot have been eating back here?
And then we get borsa.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Little do they know, they've also kept in a few bits of old grape juice. And I've kept some of that old meat we had as well.
It's gone very nice.
It's gone very nice, actually, with the wine and the old milk. We're having quite a nice little feed up back here. Gav, that's not what I wanted to talk about.
I'm
but
sorry.
You shouldn't have started me off with the cheese shake.
I know. Well, I'm hungry now.
Yeah, let's go down to Cheese Shack.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now, and you'll get the 4 till 7 thang downloaded straight to your device every Friday. And if you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. If it saves me a bit of work, you crack on.